Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hamid, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Yes, together we can remake the world. All praises due to Allah. Bismillah, Rahman, and Rahim. And welcome to Monday morning programming here on American Muslim 360. This is The Upload Life, and I am your host, William Kareem, and I give you the greetings of peace of assalamu alaikum. Before we start, I just want to make a quick announcement about an event that will be taking place in Hartford, Connecticut. And it's going to be interesting because Suad El Amin has put together a fantastic lineup of performers. Such as Jesse Hameen and Friends, which is a jazz musician. Jesse's been involved in jazz in a long time. Wali Ali. So Jesse Hameen, Wali Ali, the Philadelphia Intruders, our brother Kashibi, brother named Cooper. It's going to be a fantastic show, and also I'll be making a presentation on the show also. This is going to be in Hartford, Connecticut. Yeah, good old Hartford, Connecticut. As a matter of fact, it's in West Haven, Connecticut. That's where it's at. It's going to be in West Haven, and it's going to be on August 12th of this year. You know, this was an event that was actually happened in Philadelphia recently, and so the lineup is expanding. Because I know Suad was there, the Philadelphia Intruders was there, Wally Ali is there. Now, Jesse Hameen is coming on board. And then I'll be coming on board also. Kachibi will be coming on board. Kachibi is traveling some distance also in order to make the affair. This is going to be historical. This is going to be an historical event. So that's what I wanted to, you know, say about that. And so meanwhile, back at the ranch, we have a show lined up for you because you know what we were talking about last week. We talked about language. We talked about the whole idea of transgender. You know, whole idea of the trans of the upload life is to inform the pioneer, basically, of what's going on with the future, because, you know, our children and our grandchildren are really involved in the upload life, social media. They're really involved with it. You have TikTok, you have Instagram, you have Facebook. You know, many pioneers are now on Facebook. TikTok and Instagram just move so quickly. I mean, everything is so quick. Video clips. You could sit there for an hour and just scroll video after video after video after video after video. Before you know it, an hour has gone past. I get on social media for the purpose of trying to find information so that I could bring information to the radio program. Basically, that's why I do it. But it can be very time-consuming. What is also interesting about being participating in the upload life and then being involving yourself on social media is prayer times, because when the prayer comes in, you know, it can be a challenge to, you know, stop, you know, what you're doing on social media and, you know, come out of social media and, you know, make your prayer. That's why I say five times a day, make the world stop. Make the whole world stop and bring to the bottom what's on top. That's me as being a poet. That was one of the ideas that I carry with me. Five times a day, make the world stop and bring to the bottom what's on top. So when it's time for prayer and I hear the adhan, you know, it's like, you know, I got to come out of the social media environment. I got to come out of the upload life and come back into the natural world. It should be understood that the best life is the natural environment, the environment that Allah created for us as human beings, but that Allah created for his creatures here on earth. That's the best environment. It's the environment that the creator of the heavens and the earth made, and this is the environment that he wanted us to dwell in. He wanted us to live in. When, you know, he sent us down to earth and he said, you know, dwell thy and thy, you're going to go down to earth. Get ye down, you know, onto earth, you know, and you'll be there for a time. And what has happened is the human being has started to, when he started to conquer the natural environment by being a hunter and a gatherer. And then he went into manufacturing, whereas he was able to not only hunt and gather for himself, but also to do mass production through machinery. And then, you know, from that, you know, he was able to do to communicate his message into a worldwide network. And now that the natural environment has been conquered, there are other environments that the human being wants to, you know, establish, explore, and establish. And one of those environments has to do with the space. It has to do with space, you know, like, you know, what's out there. You know, I've conquered Earth, so now let me see what I can do with the moon, let's see what I can do with Mars. Let's see what I can do with that, and let's see how I can use technology to get those things done. The human being has become, you know, much more familiar with the electromagnetic field and the higher, some of the higher let me see. Well, some of the higher waves, like they have radio waves, and then they have cell phone waves. They have radio waves. GPS is then they put satellites out, and then they're able to, you know, communicate with satellites, and the satellites can, you know, now give us guidance, you know, all over the earth. I don't care where you're at. We used to use maps, I mean, paper maps. You know, now we don't need paper maps. All we got to do is put in an address on our GPS, our global positioning system. That's what GPS stands for, global positioning system. All we got to do is put our, you know, an address in, and, you know, it can direct us any place all over the world. So these are some of the technological advances that the human being has made, and, you know, he wants to continue to do it further. There has been so much advancement as far as the human being is concerned. What the human being has done is that there's been a change as far as language is concerned. And that's basically what we're going to be, you know, exploring. You know, how is language basically affecting the human being today? And language is a communication tool. Remember, let's just remember that. You know, language is a communication tool. But before we do that, it's very, very important for us as Muslims, all right, and as human beings to realize this situation that we are put in. And this is from Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 92. And it says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, obey Allah, obey the messenger, and always be on your guard. If you pay no heed, bear in mind that the sole duty of our messenger is to deliver the message clearly. Obey Allah and obey the messenger and beware. But if you turn away, then know well that our messenger has merely to deliver the message clearly. So we're talking about, it mentions the messenger, but we are in the position of the messenger as being here on earth. That is our responsibility too. Our responsibility is to deliver the message clear. There's also another verse let me see what verse is it. This is Surah 16, the B, verse 82. And it says, but if they turn away from thee, remember that thy only duty is to clearly deliver the message entrusted to thee. That's it. That's our responsibility as pioneers. And I don't care whether it's for our children, our brothers and sisters, our responsibility is to deliver the message clear. That's it. That's what we're supposed to do. There was another part in the Quran. This was the Surah 5, verse 67. That's the table spread that says, O messenger, proclaim the message which has been sent to thee from thy Lord. If thou didst not, thou wouldest not have fulfilled and proclaimed his mission. And Allah will defend thee from men who mean mischief. For Allah guideth not those who reject faith. So we are standing in the position of the messenger today. And if we are reading the Quran and we are following it, then it is our responsibility. It is our responsibility to deliver the message clear. So I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to stop right there with that because I think that that's the best way for us to, you know, start the program off. To know that, you know, what our position is and what our position as pioneers, what our position, you know, as a pioneer, if you've been living your deen, if we've been living our deen, then, you know, like, you know, we're making our prayers and we're making our contributions to the community. We're fasting during the month of Ramadan. You know, we're making Juma prayer. We're giving our charitable contributions. We're being responsible as far as our families is concerned. Then, you know, that's what we have established for ourselves as pioneers. We've done these things. We have masters all over, you know, the country now, you know, and we are communicating with each other. Right now we have this radio network that we're on. American Muslim 360. We have IWDM Radio. We have a New Day for Our Islam Community Radio. We have IWDM Communications. We have Muslim Journal. And there are many more. So, you know, when we start talking about the four birds and what we're supposed to be doing as far as the four birds is concerned, we still have operating Choir Muhammad schools, you know, that we have, you know, We Buy Black and other economic facilities that we're, you know, working on. And we have culture, we just mentioned, Suad Al-Amin, Jesse Hameen, Wali Ali. We're coming together as far as culture, all right, to fulfill the idea of the four birds. And then there's also the idea of government, which is something that we really have to get involved in. Why do we have to get involved in government? Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to start off by from 60 Minutes interview that we had, which talks about the language model. This is really important. Now, this is more like the social media, but look, I will get back to the whole idea about why is government important. But I think that we should go into this first. This is a 60-minute interview with Scott Pelley talking about BARD and some of the other advancements that are actually going on with social media.
She knew her baby's soul would always be alive. The humanity, at superhuman speed, was a shock.
How is this possible?
James Manyika told us that over several months, BARD read most everything on the internet and created a model of what language looks like. Rather than search, its answers come from this language model.
So, for example, if I said to you, Scott, peanut butter and?
Jelly.
Right. So it tries and learns to predict, okay, so peanut butter usually is followed by jelly. It tries to predict the most probable next words based on everything it's learned. So it's not going out to find stuff. It's just predicting the next word.
But it doesn't feel like that. We asked BARD why it helps people, and it replied, quote, because it makes me happy. BARD, to my eye, appears to be thinking, appears to be making judgments. That's not what's happening. These machines are not sentient. They are not aware of themselves.
They're not sentient. They're not aware of themselves. They can exhibit behaviors that look like that, because keep in mind, they've learned from us. We are sentient beings. We have beings that have feelings, emotions, ideas, thoughts, perspectives. We've reflected all that in books, in novels, in fiction. So when they learn from that, they build patterns from that. So it's no surprise to me that the exhibited behavior sometimes looks like maybe there's somebody behind it. There's nobody there. These are not sentient beings.
Zimbabwe-born, Oxford-educated James Manyika holds a new position at Google. His job is to think about how AI and humanity will best coexist.
AI has the potential to change many ways in which we've thought about society, about what we're able to do, the problems we can solve.
But AI itself will pose its own problems. Could Hemingway write a better short story? Maybe. But BARD can write a million before Hemingway could finish one. Imagine that level of automation across the economy.
A lot of people can be replaced by this technology.
Yes, there are some job occupations that will start to decline over time. There are also new job categories that will grow over time. But the biggest change will be the jobs that will be changed. Something like more than two-thirds will have their definitions change. Not go away, but change. Because they're now being assisted by AI and by automation. So this is a profound change, which has implications for skills. How do we assist people build new skills, learn to work alongside machines, and how do these complement what people do today?
This is going to impact every product across every company, and so that's why I think it's a very, very profound technology, and so we are just in early days.
Every product in every company.
That's right. AI will impact everything. So, for example, you could be a radiologist. You know, if you think about 5 to 10 years from now, you're going to have an AI collaborator with you. It may triage. You come in the morning. Let's say you have 100 things to go through. It may say these are the most serious cases you need to look at first. Or when you're looking at something, it may pop up and say you may have missed something important. Why wouldn't we? You know, why wouldn't we take advantage of a super-powered assistant to help you across everything you do? You may be a student trying to learn math or history, and, you know, you will have something helping you.
We asked Pichai what jobs would be disrupted. He said knowledge workers, people like writers, accountants, architects, and, ironically, software engineers. AI writes computer code, too. Today, Sundar Pichai walks a narrow line. A few employees have quit, some believing that Google's AI rollout is too slow, others too fast. There are some serious flaws.
There's a return of inflation.
James Manyika asked Bard about inflation. It wrote an instant essay in economics and recommended 5 books. But days later, we checked. None of the books is real. Bard fabricated the titles. This very human trait, error with confidence, is called in the industry hallucination. Are you getting a lot of hallucinations?
Yes, you know, which is expected. No one in the field has yet solved the hallucination problems. All models do have this as an issue.
Is it a solvable problem?
It's a matter of intense debate. I think we'll make progress.
To help cure hallucinations.
So, yes. So, that error with confidence, hallucination, we're going to dive a little more into that. But it should be understood that artificial intelligence, basically the good in it, is that it's an assistant for us. You know, at one time, remember, we used to have a telephone in the house, and now we have cell phones that we carry around with us. Those cell phones are our assistants. That's what they are. And it's not like the cell phone has taken over our lives because we have a cell phone. No, the cell phone is there to assist us. And, you know, even though it says that it's a phone, it operates, you know, as more than a phone. There are so many things that we can do with cell phones today. So it is acting as our assistant. So that's basically, you know, what artificial intelligence is doing. Artificial intelligence is acting as, will act as our assistant. That's what, you know, it wants to do. So you say, well, you know, well, they mentioned that, you know, it can feel like, when you read these things, then that it says, well, why did you like to help human beings? It says, because it makes me happy. Because it makes you happy. And it's like, wow, man, it said it was making me happy. But then we have to understand that computers are not human. They are not sentient beings. They don't have the capability of displaying fear or emotion, or coming up with original ideas, or even thought. It's just a bunch of text. It's just a bunch of text that they have gathered. The example that was being used was peanut butter and so everybody says jelly, okay? Because that's, you know, that's an obvious answer. Well, that's what they do when they... There's so much knowledge that has actually been written already in human history. There's so much knowledge that has been put into text form, and through textbooks and various languages, that, you know, we now have taken all that information and we have put it on the World Wide Web. We're able to access it through Google. Now, the whole thing with Bard is that Bard has, through its programming, which is not a Google program, has collected all of this information. You know, they've collected information from all over the world, text messaging, and put it into text form so that when we as human beings want to access information, we can do that, whether it be with our cell phone, whether it's the doctor or trying to find out more information on cancer or other health diseases, or whether it's a cook that's working on a recipe, or whether it's a manufacturer trying to find the best price for his product. This information form is available. And then if you want to speak to somebody, you know, in person, you can do that. The other day, I called the credit card company. Well, guess who answered? It wasn't a human being that answered. It was an artificial intelligence. Hey, hello, how can I help you? Please enter the last four digits of your credit card number. Okay, please verify your date of birth. Okay, I've got your record. How can I help you today? So this is information. This language model, is changing. Is already being used in our lives today. It's already being used. I want to continue, but there's something that I just have to hit on, and that is this idea that we talked about error with. That's going to be important because, you know, when we talked about, they talked about hallucination, whereas they said that in this example that they gave us, they said that there were five books that was written by the computer, and when they went back and looked back, you know, at the five books, you know, about a week later, they found out that the books weren't real, that they had made up titles for the books. Okay, so this was called and you know, it's called error with confidence, and they were making errors with confidence that, you know, like, yo, these are books, you know, I'm gonna make up the title. But the important part is this, that people go online searching and that believe that these are books. People actually will believe that these are books. But the truth of the matter is that these are texts that have been created to look like books. And they call this, to some degree, hallucination. Because, you know, it gives the impression that, you know, like it's real, you know, you know, this is a book. And it's something that they said that they're working on. So I'm going to play something else. This has to do with error with confidence.
Today, Sundar Pichai walks a narrow line. A few employees have quit, some believing that Google's AI rollout is too slow, others too fast. There are some serious flaws.
There's a return of inflation.
James Manyika asked Bard about inflation. It wrote an instant essay in economics and recommended five books. But days later, we checked. None of the books is real. Bard fabricated the titles. This very human trait, error with confidence, is called in the industry hallucination. Are you getting a lot of hallucinations?
Yes, you know, which is expected. No one in the field has yet solved the hallucination problems. All models do have this as an issue.
Is it a solvable problem?
It's a matter of intense debate. I think we'll make progress.
To help cure hallucinations, Bard features a Google It button that leads to old-fashioned search. Google has also built safety filters into Bard to screen for things like hate speech and bias. How great a risk is the spread of disinformation?
AI will challenge that in a deeper way. The scale of this problem is going to be much bigger.
Bigger problems, he says, with fake news and fake images.
It will be possible with AI to create a video easily where it could be Scott saying something or me saying something and we never said that and it could look accurate. But, you know, at a societal scale, you know, it can cause a lot of harm.
Is Bard safe for society?
The way we have launched it today, as an experiment in a limited way, I think so. But we all have to be responsible in each step along the way.
Pichai told us he's being responsible by holding back for more testing advanced versions of Bard that he says can reason, plan, and connect to internet search. You are letting this out slowly so that society can get used to it?
That's one part of it. One part is also so that we get the user feedback and we can develop more robust safety layers before we deploy more capable models.
So a little bit at a time, you know, this information is being let out because it can be very fearful for human beings to think that their lives are taken over. And then with social media, there are so many people that are, artificial intelligence is going to take over our lives. That's not true. That's not true. It's like, today we have, let's say this here. As I gave the model of the telephone, that we used to have telephones in our house, but now we have telephones that are our assistant that we carry with us on a daily basis. That's something that has happened over a period of time. First, it was just the cell phone, then the cell phone with the computer. Now it's on cell phone, computer, World Wide Web. Now it's cell phone, computer, World Wide Web, social media platforms. And now they're even doing more advancement as far as we're seeing. But these things we've become comfortable with because they have been given to us in, slow, measured time. I'm going to take this telephone call real quick, 727-408. Assalamu alaikum. Your microphone is open. Who's calling? Where are you calling from?
Martha Naila Abdullah calling from St. Petersburg, Clearwater, Florida. And greetings of peace to you, my brother, William Kareem. Alhamdulillah, and to all our other listeners. Yeah, I just wanted to inject, too, because as I heard at first, you know, they presented this female and answering a news conference, you know, having a press conference and standing and answering questions. But as I look at it, yes, the human effect has to always be there, and I believe it will always be there, even if it becomes like a laid-back situation where we use part of it. Or some of it. And I'm speaking of, you know, the GPS. I was shocked when I coming from Atlanta to back to Florida and arriving at my son's place, it gave me the time, 9:31. 9:31, I was pulling into the driveway. I said, how did it know? And I said, oh, okay, it takes into effect the speed limits. And then too, yeah. it gives you the best route to take. So praise be to Almighty God for that. Yes, it's a convenience, and yes, it's a help, and yes, I was thankful for it. I'll stop right there. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah for that. Yes, the GPS is something that is really helpful in planning, plotting, and scheming as far as our trips are concerned. You know, I mean, it's just so easy to do these days, and you know the GPS. And our computers or even our telephones can tell us, if you want to take the car, this is how much time it's going to take and this time you get in. Oh, you want to take public transportation? Well, if you take public transportation, this is the buses that you take and this is the time that you're going to get in. Oh, you want to walk there? Oh, okay, you want to walk there? Well, let me give you the directions of, what's going to happen as far as walking there. So this intelligence that has been implemented, can really be an assistant to us, and that's how we have to always see it. That is an assistant. But, and I put a but in there, that our responsibility as far as being human beings, our responsibility is to live in the natural environment. That is where our Creator put us, in the natural environment. The social media environment is an environment that the human being created so that people could participate in that. So when we talk about social media, we're talking about Facebook, we're talking about Instagram, we're talking about TikTok, and there's a whole lot of other platforms. People actually live their lives on these platforms. They have become so separated. They've become so separated in their life that, you know, they just stay at home and just, you know, it's on social media and just post all day and answer posts and share posts with other people. You can even go live on Instagram, on TikTok. You can go live, and people can send you money through stars. You know, they well, I'm going to send you 20 stars, which winds up being something like, you know, like 20 cents or 200 stars is $200. I mean, is $2. So you can send people money like that just by and this is how people, a lot of people are making their money like that. But the best life is the natural environment. Now, we talked about, I brought this thing up about the era of confidence, because this era of confidence that's happening with the language and with the computer is having an effect on human beings. That's the point that I want to make. This natural environment is having an effect on human beings. Let me give you an example. I go back to the, you know, at one time we just had phones in the house. Now we have a cell phone and we can move around. At one time we used to, you know, cook all our food. But in today's society, you can order your food from McDonald's, Burger King, Panda Express, any restaurant. Most restaurants, you know, will send you your food. Will send you your food. All you got to do is pick up the phone, put in the order, or go on the computer, and then they will bring the food to your house. You can order a chicken salad from the local pizza place. You can order a pizza from the local pizza place. Papa John's, or just the Joe's Pizza, you know, and you know, like, you go online and they will deliver it to your house. So this has become a convenience. Is the point? It has become a convenience for the human being. So just that, so, you know, like, you don't want to cook anymore, so, you know, you do the convenient part, and the convenient part. With the convenience of that, you know, you don't mind paying a little extra and, you know, and giving a little extra tip for the guy, you know, to bring, you know, the pizza to you. You'll pay a little extra. So technology always comes with a price. I'll give you another example. You can take public transportation to get someplace. You can walk to get someplace. But if you want to drive to get someplace, it's going to cost you. It's going to be more convenient. It's more convenient for you. But you got to pay your car note. You got to pay insurance. Okay, you got to put gas. You know, so you got to do all these things. And you know, you got to pay for your license. So there's a cost to it. But you're willing to pay that cost, because it's just more convenient. I'm mentioning that because when people start doing research, when they start doing research online, they make errors with confidence. And I'm talking about human errors with confidence. This whole thing, as far as transgenderism is concerned, you know, that whole thing, well let me just play this. Let me just play this for you. This was, let me just set it up. This is a This is a doctor, Dr. Herzig, who owns a Park West pharmacy who distributes transgender medicine out of her pharmacy. It's a doctor, okay? And this doctor was invited to come in front of the Senate to talk about these drugs that, you know, she's giving, you know, to people to help them as far as, you know, being transgendered. So this was Senator Matt McKee, you know, he asked her a question, and I want you to hear this. But the part that I want you to hear is at the end, what is said at the end of this conversation. Listen.
Next question, please.
You said that you're a trans woman.
I trans female, yes, sir.
Do you have a penis?
That's horrible.
Yeah. You're the one that brought that into the discussion.
I never said anything about genitalia.
Oh, it had everything to do with genitalia.
I don't know what my rights are right now.
Audience, if you want to stay in here.
I don't know what my rights are, but that question was highly inappropriate.
You do not have to answer any question. If you're through, we will dismiss you.
Well, I'm not through with questions, but I'm not going to answer that question. Okay. That's highly inappropriate.
Again, you can say that, and that's your right. So.
Okay. I'm a healthcare professional. Doctor, please treat me as such. Next question, please.
I'm a healthcare professional. I'm a doctor. I don't know what my rights are. That's what our problem is. I don't know what my rights are. So because of because legislation has come out that allows two men to get married, because legislation has come out that gives men the right to transfer from a man to a woman, just on the basis, well, I feel like I'm a woman inside, so I'm transgender now. All I have to do is say that, I can keep my hardware, I can keep the hardware, and all I got to do is just declare that I'm a man. I mean, just all I got to do is declare that I'm a woman. That's all I have to do. All I have to do is declare. And I'm a woman, and I want you to treat me as a woman. You know, I want you to call me a woman. You have to do that because that's my right. So this whole idea is we're talking about error with confidence. The error with confidence, that's the error with confidence situation. That there's something that's wrong, but there's confidence in the wrong. That's what's going on. So somebody gave this person a doctorate degree. And the very common sense thing of being man and woman has come up, but legally, because of legislation that has been passed, they've taken advantage, decided to take advantage of that legislation and say, well, you know what? You know, I feel like a woman inside. So, you know, like I'm trans, you know, and even though I still have the hardware of a man, you know, I'm going to put on a wig and take some pills and grow some breasts. And, you know, I'm a woman now. I'm a woman. So there's a lot of examples of that are actually going on in society. And, you know, we have this has also affected into the school system, whereas now they have gender bathrooms where, you know, if you're transgender, then, you know, like a man, you know, that has the hardware can actually go into a woman's bathroom as opposed to going into the man's bathroom. And it winds up doing is it winds up making women uncomfortable, because there have been circumstances and situations that has happened I'll just say that you could do the research if you want to find out about that. And then they have to also have this transgender situation as far as sports is concerned. There was one guy, what he did is he said that he was a woman, and, you know, to treat me as such. And he went into the women's weightlifting class, and he beat the time for the whole, you know, for women's weightlifting, and then decided that after he won the prize, then, you know, like he said, no, I'm not a woman anymore. You know, I'm back to being a man. But he wanted to prove a point, and that was the point that he wanted to prove, that if he said, I feel like a woman inside and I'm a woman, and then, you know, he goes and he competes in the weightlifting, and when he competed, he won. That's the same thing they're doing as far as swimming is concerned. That's the same thing they're doing as far as MMA wrestling is concerned. That's the same thing they're doing as far as some of the other sports are concerned. And women, natural, organic women, are being shut out of this situation. But this is era with confidence, because of legislation that has happened. So now, you know, and again, I say that they have it in schools. And because they have it in schools, you know, they just, it's just on the basis of, because, you know, it's legal, I can do it. I don't know what my rights are in this situation. And I'll give you another example. This is a person, this is Matt Walsh, that has a presentation with a person. And then we're going to get back to, I'm not trying to be offensive. I hope that I'm not really offending anybody. The thing is that there are points that we're trying to make that goes to what we were talking about at the very beginning of our responsibility to deliver the message clear. That is our responsibility.
You define a woman. Because you've asked other people up here to define how we would define a woman. How would you define a woman, Mr. Walsh?
An adult human female.
And how don't trans people, how doesn't a transgender woman fit that definition?
Female. Because they're not female. They have. You said that you are a biological male, correct?
I said I'm transgender. I might be intersex for all we know. About almost as many people in the world are transgender as intersex, and
well,
a lot of people don't know.
Well, but that's a different conversation. Intersex, that's a genetic anomaly. That's a medical condition. So that's a completely different conversation. That's also not a third gender. That's just a genetic anomaly that occurs within the sex binary of male and female. What you're saying is that a quote unquote trans woman is a female.
By the definitions I'm familiar with, yes.
So how would you define female?
Through my training in healthcare, there are several different categories for how we define sex. People bring up chromosomes. People also bring up hormone levels. People bring up all sorts of other categories. Lots of people don't fit neatly into a gender binary, even people we don't consider to be intersex. It's a complicated spectrum.
It's not complicated, but you also didn't define. So what is a woman? What is a female? What do these words mean?
It's complicated, and I know you're not going to like that answer, but that's because there are no simple answers in human biology.
Let me ask you a question.
You guys,
let
me finish. You guys like to bring up high school level biology classes a lot. I get that a lot. But people who go on to more complicated biology classes will talk about sex as a spectrum.
It's not.
Well, biological researchers would disagree with you.
Well, then they're full of shit, the ones that would say that. There are male gametes and female gametes. Oh, I had one last question. Can you come back for 1 second? Because this is an important question. You said you're an EMT. Okay, if you're responding to a health emergency, biological male, somebody with a penis is having a medical emergency, and they say to you, I think I'm having a miscarriage. Would you check them to see if they're having a miscarriage? Would you consider that a possibility for them?
No, but that's because some people don't have body parts. Doesn't mean they're not a woman.
Okay. Sounds like we've established there are some people who, in principle, can get pregnant, and there are some people who can't. So there's two categories, otherwise known as binary.
Lots of women can't get pregnant either.
Yeah, but they're still of the nature to get pregnant.
They can't get pregnant.
Yes, but
truth matters, right?
It does. That's what I'm trying to explain to you.
Truth matters, and they can't get pregnant. That's the truth. So how are they still women?
Because they are for the same reason that I can rightly say that human beings have two legs, and if a person is born with only one leg, that doesn't call into question the statement that human beings have two legs, okay? A person being born with one leg doesn't mean that now legs are on a spectrum, and we can't say anything at all about how many legs a person has. Who knows? They could be a centipede. You know, they could have 100 legs. No, we know human beings have two legs. If a human is born without two legs, something went wrong. They were supposed to have that second leg. Something went wrong. If you meet a person on the street who only has one leg, Maybe they had an accident. Maybe they were in war. Maybe they were in a car accident. Maybe they had cancer. A leg was cut off. But you know that something went wrong because by their nature, they're supposed to have two legs. Same thing for a woman. A woman by her nature can get pregnant. A man by his nature never can. So if you meet a woman of childbearing age, say she's 28 years old, and she can't get pregnant, you know automatically that something has gone wrong. And she can go to the doctor and find out what that thing is, even if they can't fix it. So that proves that women by their nature can get pregnant, because the simple fact that she can't shows you that there is something wrong. This is what is known as the exception that proves the rule. Whereas if a male with a penis can't get pregnant, no doctor on earth is going to run tests to see what's wrong with him, because they already know it's that he's a male, and there's only male and female, those who can get pregnant and those who can't. So that's it.
Okay, so the whole point of playing that is, please, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, it is not my point to be disrespectful. This has everything to do with being a Muslim. This is the point that I'm making, that, you know, it has everything to do with being Muslim. This situation that we're in today is the same situation that was in the time of Lot, and you know, which is very well known, when, you know, there was an insistence. There was an insistence that this error, they were in error with confidence that they were right about what they were doing. You know, with Noah, they were in error with confidence about what they were doing. Shu'aib, they were confident. They were in error with confidence. They were in error with confidence. So this is the same thing that's basically happening today, that the human being has a tendency to make errors, but he does it with confidence. I'm a doctor. I'm a doctor. I've studied. All the research that I've done says, through my training, intersex, yes, there are just as many intersex people as there are trans people.
There's a complete spectrum. Well, you know. Well, you know, some people, you know, when they deal with this thing, they just deal with it on a high school on a high school level. But when you go up a little more, it's a complicated spectrum when you study a little higher. This is the same kinds of ideas that they were putting out during the time of our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, when he was talking about no gods, or that there's only one God, and they there's 360, it's my God, you know, and it's one God thing that you're talking about. It's the same thing. Error with confidence. So the last point I want to make, I have to make this point, is that our responsibility, again, is to deliver the message clear. That's what our responsibility is in this society that we're living in. Deliver the message clear. And how do we do that? To deliver the message clear is just basically to live the life of a Muslim in the natural environment. Because the people that are making these errors with confidence are going to have to find their way back over a period of time. They're going to have to realize that they're wrong. Because if they continue down that path, it's going to be a path of total destruction for them. And in order for them to get back to the right path, they need us. They need the Muslim example. They need the right-minded example to be there for them. It says, Holy Quran says, this is Surah Ashura, the consultation, verse 48 says, if they run away from you, we have not sent you as a guard over them. Thy duty is but to convey the message. And truly, when we give man a taste of mercy from ourselves, he doth exalt thereat. But when some ill happens to him on account of the deeds which his hand has sent forth, truly, then man is ungrateful. So we have to be that example for the human being to get back to. You know, brothers and sisters, I thank you for, I got to take this call, 806. 718-806. As-salamu alaykum. Your microphone is open. I got a couple of minutes left. Go ahead.
As-salamu alaykum, Brother Kareem. This is Brother Lassay. Yeah, two things. Allah showed me the major sins of America, homosexuality, intoxicants, and gambling. The other thing that he showed me, fight negativity, he'll be with us.
Yes. Yes.
That's it.
Very true. And that's why, you know, the positive example, you know, like, it's very important, man. It's very important for us. Thank you, bro. Sure. So, you know, and that's it. Our responsibility is to give the positive example. We don't have to argue with them. All we have to do is live the life of a Muslim. That's all we have to do. Live the life of a Muslim. Live the life. Propagate and spread it. Allahu Akbar. Okay? So listen, I'm out of time, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and, you know, take this last bit of time and play some PSAs with what I didn't do. But again, remember, our responsibility is to deliver the message clear, be that positive example, be that shining light for the human being. And maybe Allah will have mercy on America. Maybe Allah will have mercy because of the prayers and the examples that we give. And maybe Allah will turn that whole thing around and America won't come under, you know, God's destruction. So with that, I'm gonna do this here. PSA, one educated girl.
Some people call me the girl who was shot by the Taliban, and some the girl who fought for her rights.
Malala Yousafzai, born in Mingora, Pakistan, raised by parents that were anything but ordinary.
Thank you to my father for not clipping my wings.
As a courageous advocate for the education of girls,
I'm here to stand up for their rights.
Her life was threatened.
The Taliban shot me on the left side of my forehead. They thought that the bullet would silence us, but they failed.
The attempt on her life sparked an international outcry of support. At age 17, she became the youngest ever Nobel Peace Prize laureate.
One child, one teacher, one book, and one pen can change the world.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Dr. Aisha Kareem, CEO Emeritus for American Muslim 360 Radio. And I want to talk to you about something that strikes at the very heart of our family and community life. It's something that can stay hidden in homes and in communities for years, regardless of our faith, our religion, or our socioeconomic status. I want to talk to you about domestic abuse, violence against women in general, as well as the broader underlying issue of respect for women that the Me Too movement addresses and that helped us to see an even deeper and systemic long-standing disrespect of women at many levels of our society, from the stock room to the boardroom. To see real change, though, is to help move these injustices out of the dark and into the light. For that, we're going to need you and me, or a We Too movement in which we say no more. We must also be willing to admit that the problem can exist even in your or my community. So talk to your imam and other counselors. Hold workshops in your community. Invite in experts to learn more. Talk about it in individual conversations. We want respect for our mothers, wives, our daughters, our sisters, and for all of the women in our society. And that means equal protection and equal respect for our intellect, our work, and our total person. So, what are you willing to do? A public service message from the CWSC and AM 360.